For our message this morning, we want to open our Bibles, whatever means you have, but we're going to chapter 6 in Matthew. Matthew chapter 6 is the passage of Scripture that I want you to open your iPad to, your Bible, your phone, whatever you have, and let's look at the Word of God. These are the words of Jesus. Matthew chapter 6, verse 19 to 34 is the section we're going to deal with. And the scripture says, Matthew 6, verse 19, "Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy, and where thieves break in and steal. But store up for yourself treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroy, and where thieves do not break in or steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. The eye is the lamp of the body. So then, if your eye is clear, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eye is bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. If then the light that is in you is darkness, how great is the darkness. No one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and wealth. For this reason I say to you, do not be worried about your life as to what you will eat or what you will drink, nor for your body as to what you will put on. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air, that they do not sow, nor reap, nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not worthy much more than they? And who of you can, by being worried, can add a single hour to his life? And why are you worried about clothing? Observe how the lilies of the field grow. They do not toil, nor do they spin. Yet I say to you that not even Solomon, in all his glory, clothed himself like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which is alive today and tomorrow is thrown into the furnace, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Do not worry then, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear for clothing? For the Gentiles eagerly seek all these things. For your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. So do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will take care of itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own." Hallelujah. Father, we thank you for your word. Lord Jesus, I pray that you would speak to our hearts today as we gather in this sanctuary. Come by your Spirit and illuminate our souls, illuminate our minds. I pray that you would speak to each one of us, that we would be better believers, more obedient to you because of this day. Speak by your Spirit, in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, I'm speaking on an interesting subject this morning. I'm speaking about Jesus and money. And I know people don't like the preacher to go on about money. But you know, Jesus went on about money. Jesus talked about money. So I think I'm in good company when I speak to you about money. Jesus emphasized money and possessions because he saw a fundamental connection between our spiritual lives and how we handle money and what we think about money. Money is a big part of this life. Is that right? Money's a big part of this life. And without it, you know, you won't be able to put food on your table. You won't be able to clothe yourself. But the focus should not be on money. And as you read the Word of God, you see that emphasized over and over again. In fact, John the Baptist, he also knew the connection between money and repentance. Because in Luke chapter 3, verses 1 to 15, when he admonished the sinner to bring forth fruit consistent with repentance, and the people said, "What shall we do?" You know what his answer was to the crowd? In verse 10, he says, "Let the man who has two tunics share with him who has none. Let him who has food do likewise." And he answered the same question from the tax gatherers. And he said, "Collect no more than what you have been ordered." Then he answered the same question from the soldiers. And he says, "Do not take money from anyone by force or accuse anyone falsely, and be content with your wages." John the Baptist couldn't talk about spirituality without talking about how to handle money and possessions. In fact, if you study money and possessions in the scripture, you see that 15% of all Jesus said relates to money and possessions. So if Jesus talked 15% about money, it's something you and I should listen to. People need not get angry when the preacher preaches on money, because Jesus did. Your attitude towards money reveals the nature of your heart. Can I say that once more? Your attitude towards money reveals the nature of your heart. And I think Jesus, in this passage of scripture that I read this morning, Jesus is saying that you and I need to be committed to God. We need to be committed with everything we have. Be committed to God. And he emphasizes three areas in this one passage. The first is we need to be committed to God with our treasure. Be committed to God with your treasure. Scripture commands us to lay up treasure in heaven, where it will last forever. You know, how much is your bank account? I'm sure there's people in here that have big bank accounts, some that have very little. But what's your bank account in heaven? What do you have in heaven? The Bible says, lay up treasures in heaven where moth and rust do not destroy, and thieves can't break in and steal. The rich young man asked Jesus, "What shall I do to inherit eternal life?" Notice how Jesus approaches this rich man. Jesus said in Mark 10, 21, he felt a love for him, and he said, "One thing you lack, go and sell all you possess and give it to the poor, and you shall have treasure in heaven, and come and follow me." Money is pretty important. This rich young man heard Jesus say that, and he walked away. He could not sell all that he had. Money is used to bless others, and especially the poor. And when Jesus commands us to lay up treasure in heaven, this is not an emotional appeal. It's a logical one. Invest in what has lasting value. You can't take it with you. When you die, you're leaving this world empty-handed. So send it on before. We need to lay up treasures in heaven. Jesus said in Matthew 13, verse 44, "The kingdom of heaven is like a treasure hidden in a field, which a man found and hid, and from joy over it he goes and sells all that he has and buys that field." He knew what was important. We need to adopt a steward's mentality toward the assets that God entrusts us. Remember Matthew 25, verse 21 and 23 says, "His master said to him, 'Well done, good and faithful servant. You were faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Enter thou into the joy of your master.'" You know, we're all going to stand before the Lord one of these days. Some of us may be faster than others, but we're all going to stand before Him. And the question isn't, you know, what would you do if you won $1 million? Question is, what are you going to do with what God has already given you? What are you going to do with what you have? That's the question. Because if you're not doing something with what you have, you win $1 million, you're not going to do something with $1 million either. It shows your nature. That's why those who don't give when they make small incomes usually don't give when they make large incomes. If you haven't been trained as a servant of God from when you're making small incomes to tithe and to give to the Lord, when you make big incomes, you're going to say, that's too much money. I can't give that to God. Because you haven't been trained. It's not part of your nature. But it needs to be a part of our nature. The only way to foolproof money and possessions is to give them back to God. It's more, Acts 20 verse 35 says, it's more blessed to give than to receive. You know, verse 21, it says, for where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Where's your treasure? Over in the Royal Bank? Or is the treasure in Heaven's bank? That's the question. Where is our heart? What are we excited about? How many RSPs I have? Or how I stand in heaven, how I stand before the Lord and know that God is pleased with how I handle my money. You and I are going to give an account for our assets. Jesus said not to lay up treasures upon earth. I don't think he means don't save, because over throughout the scripture there's scriptures that tell us about saving, like the ant who stores up for, you know, be wise in how you handle your money, but don't get focused on it. Don't be all concerned about it. You know, if there's a crash like 1930s, 29, whenever the stock market crashed, people jumped off of buildings because all their bank account was dead, was gone. Hey, life is worth more than what you got in the bank. Life is about our relationships, about our interaction with people. It's more precious than millions. Life is precious. Our main goal is not to store up great wealth, because money affects your vision. Isn't that what Jesus said here? He says, where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. And then we have these two verses, and kind of seems like they're out of place. When he says, the eye is the lamp of the body. So then, if your eye is clear, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eye is bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. If then the light that is in you is darkness, how great is that darkness? And then he says, no one can serve two masters. You can't serve God and money. So this concept here about your eyes has something about money. It has the aspect, if you're focused on money all the time, if you're always thinking about money, there's something wrong inside. And there's going to be a darkness that comes in the life of people that are always focused on money. And that's what Jesus is saying. The eye is the lamp of the body. So if your eye is clear, your whole body will be full of light. If you honor God, if you lift him up and you praise him and magnify him and you give to him sacrificially, God is going to give you clear vision. You're going to have a clear sight. But if you're always hoarding that money and hanging on to it because you're going to be rich and you'll be a millionaire, well, who cares? God doesn't care. So get focused on Jesus. God does give some people wealth. You know, there are some people that are very wealthy. Some people are very wealthy. The key is, what are they doing with that wealth? Well, you know what? There are many millionaires that give sacrificially to the kingdom of God. Many that bless others. And the more they give, the more blessed they are. God doesn't give some people money and wealth, and he expects them to use it wisely when he gives them money. Those who have been given wealth are to be God's money managers or faithful stewards. You know, the Old Testament talks about this as well as the New Testament. In Deuteronomy chapter 8 and verse 17 to 19, the Bible says, "You may say in your heart, my power and the strength of my hands made this wealth. But you shall remember the Lord your God, for it is he who is giving you power to make wealth, that he may confirm his covenant which he swore to your fathers as it is this day. It shall come about if you ever forget the Lord your God and go after other gods and serve them and worship them. I testify against you today that you shall surely perish." When you chase money, your future is not bright. You need to focus on the Lord. Our main purpose in this life is not to gain wealth. Proverbs chapter 23 and verse 45, the Bible says, "Do not weary yourself to gain wealth. Cease from your considerations of it. When you set your eye on it, it is gone. For wealth certainly makes itself wings, like an eagle that flies towards the heavens." You know, there was a fella who met a millionaire, and he was so caught up that this was a millionaire. And he says to the millionaire, "You're more to be envied than anyone I know." And the millionaire said, "Why?" And he said, "Well, you're a millionaire. Think of all the thousands your income brings in every month." "Well, what of that?" said the millionaire. "All I get out of it is my food and clothes, and I can't eat any more than one man's allowance and wear more than one suit at a time. Even you can do as much as I can." "Yes, but think of the hundreds of fine houses you own," said the young fellow. And the man says, "What good does that do me?" The rich man, he replied, and so the rich man said, "I can only live in one house at a time. As for the money I receive for rent, why, I can't eat it or wear it. I can only use it to buy other houses and other people for other people to live in. They are the beneficiaries, not I." Then finally, after a little more discussion, the millionaire turned to the young man and said, "I can tell you that the less you desire in this life, the happier you will be." Powerful truth from this wealthy man. "In a few short years," he says, "at the most, I must lie down in the grave and leave it all forever." You can have millions, but you're going to leave it all here. So focus on the Lord. Our main purpose in life is to glorify God, to love Him, and love our neighbor. So the question is, are you committed to God with your treasure? All the treasure you have, are you committed to the Lord? And does He have power over that? Your attitude towards money reveals the nature of your heart. The first area to reveal your commitment to God is your treasure. Secondly, though, you and I need to be committed to God not only with our treasure, but with our faith. And verse 25 to 29 gets into that idea of your faith. And he says, "Don't be anxious for what you shall eat or drink or wear. Many people I know say, 'I can't afford to tithe.' But my answer is, are you willing to believe God? What's your faith? Do you have the faith that God's going to look after you? Or do you think you have to handle all the money in a way that you know you're going to be okay?" I say, When you have faith in God, He's going to take you through whatever trial you face. However much money or however little money, God is going to take you through when you put your hand in His hand. When you trust Him, have faith in the Lord. Malachi chapter 3, verse 8 to 10 says, "Will a man rob God? Yet you're robbing me. But you say, how have we robbed thee? In tithes and offerings. You're cursed with the curse, for you're robbing me, the whole nation of you. Bring the whole tithe into the storehouse, so that there may be food in my house, and test me now in this, says the Lord of hosts, if I will not open for you the windows of heaven and pour out for you a blessing until it overflows." Tithing is a principle in the Old Testament, and it's a principle in the New Testament. The whole concept of 10% of your salary, and I believe that means 10% of the first fruits, not after the tax man takes his part. But when your first fruits, you tithe and you give to God, He's going to give you a blessing. He is going to pour out for you a blessing until it overflows. Church fathers Origen, Jerome, and Augustine taught that tithe is the minimal giving requirement for Christians. And there's a sad statistic that Barna, in his research, he says only 7% of born-again adult Christians tithe to a church. To me, that's a sad, sad statistic. 7%. I believe our church is in better standing than that. But it's sad that so many people that claim to be Christians do not tithe. It's not only an Old Testament pattern. It's a New Testament. Matthew chapter 23, and Jesus said, "You tithe, and this is good. This is good. But be concerned about the other matters." So tithing is part of our lifestyle as a believer. Many people can't afford to give. You know why? Because they're not giving. If you give, God is going to give back, and you will continue to give. It's easier to live on 90% inside the will of God than 100% outside the will of God. And Moira and I, since we've been married, we have been tithing 10% off of whatever we get. And sometimes we've had very little, and it's tough. But if you had that principle inside you, if you know it's the will of God, and you obey God, He's going to bless you. He's going to be with you in all situations. The Bible says God will take care of you. Verse 30, he says, "And if God so clothed the grass of the field," and he said, "don't worry, but seek first His kingdom and His righteousness, all these things will be added to you." God will take care of you. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians 9:7 that God loves a cheerful giver. Now, Maura and I, as I said, since we were married, we've been tithers. But we were pastoring in Empress back in 1979. What's that, 40 years ago, I guess. Time flies. But then, you know, we weren't making much. It was a rural community. I worked in the coal mine, and I was making $1,200 a month working in underground in the coal mine back then. But then we went to Empress to work there, and I think our salaries were cut in half. We weren't making much, and we decided I was wanting to go to the men's ministries meeting in Banff. And we talked, and I had tithe of $64 that I was going to give to the church. But I figured, if I'm going to Banff, it'd be better for me to take that $64 to have, and I can always pay God back later. So that was my thinking as a young pastor. Well, I'm an old pastor now, but back then I was a young pastor. And so I said to Moira, I'm going to take this $64 with me. Well, I got to Banff. All the men in the church, we went in cars. And we got to Banff, and my brother phoned me first night I was there. And he told me my mother passed away. And so I was pretty shook up then, and I said to myself, I better go down. And so my idea was to take off and go down to the Crow's Nest Pass. And, well, as I was going down to the Crow's Nest Pass, my lights on my vehicle started getting dimmer and dimmer. Finally, I came to where there was a station, and I pulled in, and the guy said, yeah, your alternator's shot. You need a new alternator. I said, you got one? He said, yeah. And so he put it in, and when time came to pay the bill, guess how much it was? $64. Exactly. $64. Well, God spoke to my heart at that time, never use God's money for your money. And that's the last time I touched the tithe. Last time I learned my lesson. Well, is your faith in God or is it in money? Your attitude towards money reveals the nature of your hearts. We need to be committed to God with our faith. Do you have the faith to believe that God's going to take you through the situations? Or are you trying to build up enough money so you don't need God? We definitely need to have a committed faith. The first test to reveal our commitment to God is our treasure, and the second is our faith, and the third is your priorities. What kind of priorities do you have? Well, in verse 33, Jesus says, seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Hallelujah. Put God first. Put God first. Tithe to the Lord and give offerings. And God loves a cheerful giver. Give to the Lord. He's given us so much. You can't outgive God. So Timothy says, chapter 6, 1 Timothy 6, 11 says, but flee from all these things, you man of God. Pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, perseverance, and gentleness. You know, in Mark chapter 10, 17, 22, the rich young man was not willing to give up everything for a greater treasure. But the traveler in the field, he was. He went and sold everything, bought that field. How about you? How's your life? Are you hanging on, or are you willing to give to the Lord? Jesus knew that money and possessions was the rich man's God. Rich man wouldn't serve God unless he dethroned his money idol. But the seeker considered the price too great. Jesus looked around and said to his disciples, how hard it will be for those who are wealthy to enter the kingdom of God, because they're hanging on to all that wealth. The problem with the church is they're always asking for money. I hear that over and over again. So what are you going to do with it? Are you going to die and leave it all? Give it to God. Honor God. And he will bless you. Guaranteed. You know, the Bible says with God all things are possible. All things are possible. Rich people go to heaven. God blesses the church with many rich people. 1 Timothy 6, 6 to 10 says, but godliness actually is a means of great gain when accompanied by contentment. For, listen to this, for we brought nothing into this world, so we cannot take anything out of it either. And if we have found food and covering with these, we shall be content. But those who want to get rich fall into temptation and a snare, and many foolish and harmful desires which plunge men into ruin and destruction. For the love of money, not money, but the love of money is the root of all sorts of evil. And some by longing for it have wandered away from the faith and pierced themselves through with many a pang. Well, you can't take it with you. I guarantee you're not taking it with you. But you can send it on ahead. That's the beauty. You can send it on ahead. How much do you have in heaven's bank? The Bible tells us to lay up treasures in heaven. And, you know, I keep a ledger. Naomi taught me how to use Excel. So I know how much money I get every year. I know how much tithe I give every year. And I've been doing this since 2009. I think she taught me Excel. It's nice to have kids that teach you stuff. And so she taught me Excel. And in my Excel sheet, I have how much money that I've received over the years and how much money I give in tithe. Like, so that you know what you're doing. Are you tithing? Are you giving 10%? Well, you should be giving 10%, maybe more. But I have a record of that. And so all of that money, I think, has gone up to heaven. I think that's heaven's account. I think that's in heaven already, because it came to me, but it passed on to the Lord. And I think that's how you and I need to be. Be concerned about what you're putting in heaven. Isn't that what he commands us to do? Lay up treasures in heaven where moth and rust do not destroy and thieves don't break in and steal. Lay up treasures for the Lord. Hallelujah. Well, John D. Rockefeller was one of the wealthiest men in his time. After he died, someone asked his accountant, "How much money did John D. leave?" The classic response was, he left all of it. He left all of it. You know, you spend your life building up a big bank account, building up your savings, building up your RSPs and everything else. You're going to leave it all. You're going to leave it all. So what's your focus in this life? Keep your eyes on the Master. Keep your eyes on Jesus. And give to the Lord as he's given to you. When you do that, God is glorified. You know, I hear stories from different ones. And lots of people say, "I don't want to give to the church because then everybody knows what I give." Well, no, they don't. We have these tithing envelopes. And you can get a tithe number. And just put your tithe number on the envelope and nobody knows who's given. The counters see the number and it goes into the church. The thing is, when you give and you have an envelope, that's all recorded, so you get an income tax receipt at the end of the year, and then you put that in your income tax claim, and you get money back for how much money you give to the church. You get money back. If you don't want it, give it to the church. Don't be stupid and not claim it. Why let the government have it all? Give it to the church and glorify God. And so I encourage you to use those tithe envelopes. Get a number from Naomi if you don't have one. And give to the Lord. I think we win all the way around when you honor God. Every earthly treasure we have here will eventually rot away or be lost. Solomon's words of wisdom need to be heeded. In Proverbs 11:28, he said, "He who trusts in riches will fall, but the righteous will flourish like the green leaf." Proverbs 27:24, "For riches are not forever, nor does a crown endure to all generations." Proverbs 28 and verse 22, "A man with an evil eye hastens after wealth and does not know that want will come upon him." Ecclesiastes 5:10. He who loves money will not be satisfied with money, nor he who loves abundance with its income. This too is vanity. You and I need to be committed to God with our treasure, with our faith, and with our priorities. Where is your treasure? Where is your treasure? What's the most important thing to you in this world? I know our relationships, wife, kids, grandkids, those are precious. Our bank account is not that important. It's not that important. If you have enough money to get by, that's good. Praise the Lord. God will make sure you have enough because He takes care of His children. God has promised to watch over us. So where is your treasure? Where is your faith? Is your faith in your bank account? Or is your faith in the Master? What kind of faith do we have? And where are your priorities? Answering these questions will definitely reveal the nature of your heart. Your attitude towards money will also reveal the nature of your heart. Remember Zacchaeus? I think there's a Sunday school song about Zacchaeus. He had an encounter with the living Christ, and his radical new approach to money proved that his heart had been transformed. Luke chapter 19, verse 8 says, "Behold, Lord, half of my possessions I will give to the poor, and if I've defrauded anyone of anything, I will give back four times as much." That's a heart that has been committed to God. Your attitude towards money reveals the nature of your heart. John Wesley once toured a vast estate with the proud owner. And after riding the estate for hours, they came back, sat down for dinner, and the owner eagerly asked, "Well, Mr. Wesley, what do you think?" John Wesley replied, "I think you're going to have a hard time leaving all of this. All the wealth you have, you're leaving behind. When you die, there's nothing going with you but what you sent before. Where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." Luke 6:34-38 says, "Give, and it will be given to you." Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 5 is one great scripture. And it says, make sure that your character is free from the love of money, being content with what you have. For he himself has said, "I will never desert you, nor will I ever forsake you." So that we confidently say, "The Lord is my helper. I will not be afraid. What will man do to me?"